listening to PHBC Radio.
Well, good evening and welcome. Good morning, actually, and welcome. Perhaps even good afternoon and welcome, depending on where you are listening in the world. So hello and welcome once again to Being Mindful on PHBC Radio. It's Being Mindful is our regular talk show where we look at and discuss issues pertaining to our quality of life as Christians. And these issues include mental health, family, relationships, money, politics even. You are joined on the show, today. There's me and Maxine, your co-hosts. And over the last few weeks, we have been talking about purpose. It's wonderful to have you with us on the show today. Listen, it's not a one-way show. For those of you who listen regularly, you know that you can join in as well. And if you do want to join in the conversation, if you do want to send in a comment or a question or even a criticism, no matter what that may be or what it may look like, please do so using the PHBC Radio app. And just if you go to contact the studio, punch the green button and send a WhatsApp directly to us here in the studio. So once again, this is Being Mindful. And today, as we have been doing over the last few weeks, I think we started this 3 weeks ago, although there was a skip. We've been talking about purpose, and today is part three about purpose. We want to try and recap a little bit and wrap it up and touch on a few other things. I'm sure we'll revisit the purpose. So Maxine, welcome as well to the studio.
Hey, and thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here and looking forward to talking today about our discussion on purpose. So yeah, please do call in, email in, whatever you want to do. Find us on Facebook. You know, remember our handle is at PHBC London. And so yeah, let's get started.
Absolutely. If you those of you who were listening a few weeks ago, if you remember, just to give you a bit of a recap, the last couple of weeks, initially we started our last couple of shows on purpose. We talked about what purpose is, and purpose is the why. Purpose is the reason. Mm-hmm. We've talked about purpose. In purpose, we find meaning, we find fulfillment. And the truth of it is this. Once you know what your purpose in life is, it's then easier, much more straightforward to organize everything that you're doing, your activities around purpose. So everything you do in some regards then becomes an expression of that purpose. In that first show, we also talked about the difference between purpose and goals, or purpose and objectives.
Yeah, we spoke about tasks, assignments.
Exactly.
We spoke about, I think somebody called in and asked, you know, how do you know, what's the difference between purpose and I think it was assignment or something like that.
Absolutely.
And so we spoke about that as well.
And the assignment is part of the purpose. Objectives and the goals are part of the purpose. Yeah.
We spoke about, you know, continuing on the process.
The cost of that process.
Yeah.
There was... Joseph, David, Moses.
Yep. Pulling out. I think Moses, obviously we know about Moses and his experience. And obviously we spoke about his name.
Yes.
It being drawn out.
The one that draws out.
And that, so, you know, there are times when, hey, look, things can sometimes go a bit haywire. You know, things can be a bit like a valley moment, or, you know, like a hindrance, or, you know, a stumbling block. And it may appear to be, but even in that process, there's something going on. And, you know, it's still going to work out. All things work together for good, isn't it? That's what the Bible says. Hey, let's go there. You know, so, so I think, you know, we're trying to encourage ourselves and everybody listening and so forth that, look, wherever you are, whatever's happening, whatever's taking place, it's not the end. Actually, just think about it for a moment, evaluate it for a moment, assess it for a moment, and see if this is something that you should pay attention to. Maybe God is speaking to you through it. Maybe it's a bit of a, you know, detour sort of thing, but don't stop moving forward. Be intentional about where you're going.
Absolutely. I mean, it's as you were saying, speaking about that, because one of the things I was just, again, in the recap, thinking about what are the kind of things that stop us from getting to our purpose. But as you were saying, giving that example just now, the picture came to my mind that, you know, and I don't know whether we used it in this show or a previous show. If you are on a trip to You're going from, hey, listen, I'm traveling to Los Angeles tomorrow.
Right.
And your flight is at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
You wake up, you decide you're going to leave home at 8 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. but there's a little bit of traffic.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a little bit of traffic. It's not going to stop you getting to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Because in the grand scheme of things, you can reroute, you can absolutely. Take a different mode of transport. You can, you know, yeah. you factor those things in.
Yeah.
But typically the kinds of things that I think we talked about this last week, the kinds of things that, hinder us mm-hmm. or prevent us or slow us down from entering into that place of fulfillment, that mm-hmm. place of true purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, the predictability, the comfort
yes.
zone.
Yes, yes, I remember that now. Mm-hmm, yes,
mm-hmm. Where we just, you know, we're used to what we're used to,
mm-hmm.
and because we're used to it,
mm-hmm.
Interestingly, mm-hmm. I was speaking with somebody after last week's show. I think the show was on Thursday, on Friday, or maybe Saturday. I was speaking with a pastor friend,
mm-hmm.
and I talked about what we were discussing on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because on the show last week, we talked about how predictability, keeping us in the comfort zone,
yep.
is something that it takes less mental energy
mm-hmm.
when we're used to what we're used to. We're mm-hmm. not trying to learn. Mm-hmm. There's less mental energy mm-hmm. around doing what you know to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I want to just touch on this because, unfortunately, this issue is everywhere. It's in all our lives. We do this in our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
We do this with our Christian walk.
Mm-hmm.
We do it with our relationships.
Mm-hmm.
We do it with anything.
Mm-hmm.
There's less mental energy when we're used to what we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to sit in that comfort zone,
mm-hmm.
and the brain, mm-hmm. because what we're doing is we're using less mental energy. The brain isn't doing as much work.
Yeah.
So I was saying that to a pastor friend, and he said, but realize the brain's biggest, its primary function
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
is to keep the body safe.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Its primary function is to keep the body safe. Yet,
mm-hmm.
what we then do is we put the brain in a place where it's not working as hard.
Right. Okay.
Conversely.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We put it in that place. By staying mm-hmm. in the comfort zone, the brain can switch off.
Yes, yes.
And this is the issue. Yes. Too often when we're in our comfort zone, we're vulnerable.
Yes.
We're physically, emotionally, yes. spiritually vulnerable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We take things for granted.
Yeah.
We take people for granted.
Yeah.
We take our surroundings for granted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so mm-hmm. One of the big things that keeps us from entering and fulfilling purpose, comfort zone, and the second thing was limiting beliefs.
Yes.
We tell ourselves,
yes,
you know, I'm not good enough.
And yes, and that is very, very, very important, actually. We can speak to ourselves without opening our mouths.
Oof.
And we can speak constantly, repeatedly, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that, I don't have the skills, I don't know how, I don't. And yes, okay, maybe, but that shouldn't stop you. You can go and learn a new skill, for example. I think we spoke also about asking people around you. I think that's very, very important.
Mm. The pride factor.
Yeah, the pride factor. Because, you know, we don't know everything. We need each other. We are a part of a body, which is what you alluded to.
Mm-hmm.
And in sense of, you know, okay, so I'm in my comfort zone. But in order for me to go through and attain or accomplish, I'm going to have to say to myself, I can do this.
Mm.
I can do this.
Yes.
Okay, I might be fearful, maybe intimidated, maybe thinking, what are others going to say about me?
Yeah.
Those are normal things.
Yes.
But in that situation, you still think, okay, you know what? I can do this.
And often God puts people around us that can encourage us, empower yes. us, help us in doing it.
Yeah. And provoke. Let's use that word. Let's go there. Let's go.
I don't even, you know what? You know what? You know, you just went.
Provoke. You know what? Let me say this. Wait, before you go there, right? There's an illustration I always use when I'm speaking. If, let's just say, you know, for our listeners in or out there, you're standing in front of me.
Hmm.
I'm standing behind you, directly an arm length behind you, okay? I talk to you. I'm asking you a question. So how are things going? I give you a push in your back.
Hmm.
The first thing you're thinking is, why are you pushing me? Okay? I go back and ask you again. So how's things going? Have you done this? Have you done that? What's happening with that? I tried it, but you know, whatever. I push you again in your back. And I push you again in your back. Guess what? You're going to be annoyed. Why did you keep pushing me? Why are you pushing me? You may even turn back round and face me. Mm. Why are you pushing me? I push you again. You step a step back. I ask you again. So how's things going? Where you at? Have you done this? What's the next move? And I'm clicking my fingers, which can be, even that can be irritating. But after a few pushes, let's just say for argument's sake, I push you 7 times.
Nice number.
Amen to that. 7 times, okay? 3 of those times may be in your back. Hmm. 2 of those times may be on your chest area, your shoulder area, okay? And the remaining times you may turn back. You're not fully forward, not fully backwards, but still I'm pushing you, okay? I then say to you, look back. Look back. Guess what? You've moved. You will not be found in the same place where you started.
That's
what provocation does.
Yeah.
It's never going to be easy. It's never going to be easy. A journey that should have taken 11 days. We know the story.
Yeah.
11 days. Took 40 years. Come on.
Yeah.
We know the story.
Because people were harking after the comfort zone. Why is it so hard? Why is it this? Why is it that? Just trust God and go, for goodness sake.
And I want to make another point, if I can.
Hmm.
As leaders, business leaders, church leaders, whatever it may be. You may be a team leader in your workplace, okay? Whatever that may well, even in your own household, head of the family, whatever it may well be, okay? Sometimes, I've noticed this because God does this, we are his children, right? So sometimes God will, let's just say, poke you. Give you a little push here, a little poke here. You know, buff it.
He's good at that.
Right? God is good at that. You know why? Because he needs to bring out of you what's in you. So if the fear is speaking louder than the
faith,
God's going to push you. God's going to provoke you. God's going to point you. And he's how? He may use others to do just that. Why? Because you need to deal with that process in order to be able to maintain the place where you're going. Character has got to be built in there. Character has got to be built in there so that when you get to the destination, you can carry the weight that you've been given.
I want to read
a
verse from a verse of scripture.
Mm-hmm.
You've talked about provocation. You've used that word. And, you know, when you first used that word, I was just like, yikes, you know. Because, unfortunately, you know, there are certain words in society, in language, that have, forgive me, I'm just going to go there. In our gently, softly, softly, nobody can be offended.
Yeah.
Societal construct.
Correctness.
Now, you know, those words are negative words.
Mm-hmm.
Words like criticize.
Mm-hmm.
Criticism. Oh my goodness, did you just criticize him?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Yeah, I did. You know. Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. I tell people, you know, I do quite a bit of relationship work.
Yeah.
When I sit with people and I say to them, listen, let me be very clear on something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not one of these namby-pamby, wishy-washy, flippy-floppy psychotherapists.
Mm-hmm.
Let me be clear. I tell them all, I am going to judge you.
Yes, I hear you.
I tell them, listen, I'm going to listen.
Mm-hmm.
I will listen and I will hear you.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my ground rules is I'm going to judge you.
Yeah.
Which means I will make a determination. I will make a distinction between good and bad, right or wrong, ethically correct and ethically incorrect.
Yep.
I will make those distinctions. That is where my judgment comes in.
Yep.
But I will never condemn you.
Yep, I hear that.
You see, the context in which, or the way in which Jesus was using the word judge not yet, lest thou be judged,
mm-hmm.
is do not condemn. Don't write someone off. Don't
mm-hmm.
be that one. Mm-hmm. Hit the gavel down on mm-hmm. who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Don't, you know, that's where he was going in mm-hmm. the use of the word judge.
Mm-hmm.
It is not saying to us we must be empty-skulled, empty-brained. So, this word, as I said, like criticize, confront.
Right.
You know, it's like you're not allowed to confront. You're not allowed to call stuff out anymore. You can't call sin. Ugh. Oh, I'm no. preaching now. That's we're going somewhere now. Anyway, so you use the word provoke, mm-hmm. and it reminds me, Hebrews 10:24, you know the verse. That typically, let me read it. I've got mm-hmm. a number of translations open. Mm-hmm. The NIV, nice and popular. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love mm-hmm. and good deeds. The New King James, let us consider one another in order to stir up mm-hmm. love and good deeds. Mm-hmm. The Amplified, let us consider thoughtfully how we may encourage mm-hmm. one another to love and to do good deeds. Mm-hmm. But I want to take you back, mm-hmm. right? What we're going to do right now is go back, mm-hmm. back into time.
That sounded so good.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
The King James Version, mm-hmm. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another to provoke
come on.
Unto love and to good works, which means you poke them in the back.
Yes.
You poke them in the ribs. You wake them up.
Yep,
none of this them. Softly, softly, yep. namby-pamby, wishy-washy. You get them into a place yes. where they're different in yes. the way the eagle, we've talked about this on another show, mm-hmm. breaks up the nest, mm-hmm. makes it uncomfortable for yes. the eaglets.
Yep. Yep. Now, you mentioned eagle.
Oh.
one of my favorite birds, eagle. You know, if you are a flock mm. of birds, and one of you happens to be an eagle, let's just use that. The eagle has the ability, to, as we know, to soar. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it uses what? The wind.
Yes.
As it extends its wings
yes.
to soar. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. If you're flying with a number of birds and you do not, or you cannot, let's put it that way, you're not able to lift up, to mm-hmm, soar mm-hmm, high, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. then okay, don't complain. It's fine. If you're happy, you know what? It's really, yeah. You know, you have the right to decide to avoid or not take on the constructive,
absolutely.
Which is what you're talking about, uh-huh. constructive criticism.
Yes.
But if you want to go a bit further, there's nothing wrong with wanting, nothing wrong with desiring, but it's going to take effort.
Yeah.
You cannot fly if you don't extend your wings.
What we're talking about, the cost of the process.
Right. It's going to take effort. And I expect people to, you know, I do what I do. And I know some people will be like, gosh, how do you do all that stuff? It's because I don't want to be where I was last year. Mm, I don't want to be. Mm, I know I'm in a different place. I know that the door is open. I know that I've gone through the door, you know, and I want to maintain going through. But not just that. Others are waiting for me. Other people are depending upon me. So let's talk about church, for example. Mm. Some people, for some reason, get to church and they neglect their gift. Now, I ain't talking about a spiritual gift. I know that there is, mm-hmm. yeah? Mm-hmm. But they neglect their spirit, their talents, rather. So you get to the door of church, the building, you could participate, you could contribute. Mm. And rather than do anything, you leave all your abilities mm. by the door. Mm. How does that make any sense? Mm. Yeah? Mm. When at the end of the day, as we know, there's the marketplace, yeah. there's church community, there's home or whatever. So what we're trying to say today is use what you have, see where you can fit in, see where you can contribute, see where you can add.
Make a difference, to
make an impact.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
important.
We're going to talk a little bit more about this. Listen, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Being Mindful on PHBC Radio, where we look at various issues relating to our quality of life, particularly as Christians. Today, we're discussing purpose. Your hosts, Deji and, of course, Maxine with me here. And we are going to take a short music break now. This chap is a great guy, award-winning UK gospel rap artist. This song is a collaboration with Called Out Music. It's his Governor B with Peace of God.
The peace of God, let it cover you. What you're going through, when life is overwhelming, and you need the seas to come. I pray you find the peace of God.
Welcome back, everyone. Glad to have you on board with us today. This is PHBC Radio, and it's great to be here. It's great to have you here with us today. Listen, if you want to join in, please do contact us on our app. Just press the button and you can come straight through to us. We can see what you'd like to say to us today. Also, you can find us on our usual handles at PHBC London. So, we are talking about purpose. So, is there anything else you'd like to add? We just came back and we were talking about, you know, the differences that happens when you're on your way to purpose and how do you handle various situations and so forth and the comfort zone thing. Mm-hmm, so,
So how do we find purpose? What are the steps? If someone says to you, Maxine, I'm trying to find my purpose, you know, if someone comes in, you know, someone texts in, sends us a message now and says, you know, what are the kinds of things I need to be thinking about before I finish that. Okay, let me finish that. What are the kind of things I need to be thinking about to find purpose? Mm-hmm. I think it's also important to say, obviously I pastor a church. You are the founder and I suppose leader, owner, managing director of YouGlow, which is a charity that does a lot of work in community supporting women.
Yep.
So you understand leadership. You know, you're a pastor yourself. You've preached, you've taught, you've led, you've done stuff. Mm-hmm. Purpose isn't just about the individual. Purpose also can be about an organization or an institution or about a church. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have corporate purpose, you know, individual purpose.
Yeah.
Aha.
Yeah.
So and I think some of these principles also apply if we are dealing with the organization or the institution, not necessarily, not just about the individual.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So what are the steps? What are the things? What are the things that people need to be thinking about in finding purpose?
So, you know, you mentioned several things there, and I just sort of had this picture in my mind. You know, Abraham was Abraham. Okay? He was the head of a tribe. but he also was a shepherd, a farmer or whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
Jesus, his father, Joseph, although we know, obviously, was a carpenter.
Yes.
So we have multi-abilities, I should say. So, okay. So, you know, as I said before, I think you spoke about this in the early stages, you know, what interests you? Everybody has that innate interest. Everybody has that innate natural thing that they are drawn to. So what I would say is research, you know, pray about it. Ask other people who may already be in that area, in that field. You know, what is it in particular that stirs you, that, you know, makes you think, you know, maybe you're a problem solver. Maybe you're the type, kind of person who is solution driven. Maybe you have a heart, a burden for, like I said, a group of people that may be, you know, elderly or young people or whatever. What is it that you want to do? What do you want to add? What is it you want to bring to the table?
Jesus talked about, he made a statement. He made a statement. He said, and he was talking to the disciples, the apostles. He said, "You shall be my witnesses." Right? Mm-hmm. You remember the four?
Yeah.
Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost, you know, the furthest parts of the world.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And for me, those four locations, I mean, many people have done this. They're the concentric locations.
Yeah.
The Jerusalem is right where you are.
Yeah.
The Judea is neighboring to you, nearer to you. Samaria is a little bit further afield. Mm-hmm. And then the uttermost ends is everything else. So going back to what you're saying is start with yourself. Think about yourself.
You know,
do your research. Think about you. Search inward.
Yeah.
Look in your own heart.
Yeah.
What do I feel like?
Yes.
You know, there was something that you said on a, I think it was purpose show number one, where you even talked about, you were talking about this and you touched on it. And I thought, I'm going to try and bring that back. So obviously as we search inward, we look at, you know, what are the things that make us fulfilled? And we look at that side. Mm-hmm. What are things that make us happy? What are things that please us? What are things that we get joy
that
from?
Stirs, yeah.
But, I'm glad you used the word stir. Because some things stir us to joy.
Yes.
Some things stir us to anger. Yes,
absolutely.
And even the things that stir us to anger can be pointing
absolutely.
To our purpose.
Absolutely. Let me just say, you know, I know several people, including myself, we do not like injustice. That is key. We do not like injustice. And in the small matter, you know, I tend to speak up. It might be a trivial matter to some, but I will speak up. I'm the one that gets things moving. I'm the one that says, nope, that's not going to happen. Need to do this, please. In the most polite manner. Because I know, again, I'm going to say this, part of my ability, skill, if you want to call it that, part of my talent is to get things moving. It's to bring about a solution. I'm very solution-driven and focused. I'm people-focused. And let me just say this. This thought has came to me. I wasn't always like this. I used to be so timid. I know some of you are laughing out there like, yeah, right.
Forget out there. I'm over here going, sorry, who?
I used to be, whenever I said it, people are like, what? You know, I used to be so timid. So self-conscious.
Wow.
So, oh my God, I used to have a stammer. Yeah? I used to have a stammer. So for me to speak, I would rehearse the sentence in my head before I spoke it. When God calls you, and he calls you, and he calls you to our listeners out there, he has not made a mistake. He knows exactly who you are, where you are, how you're going to get to your destination, how you're going to achieve. And he's saying, I know and I'm with you. Let's go. And at the end of the day, if anybody can speak and say, well, I got there by myself, you know what? Check them out.
Yeah.
Because that's not true. And the fact of the matter is, we're all learning. So what I would say is, be teachable. That is so key. Be teachable. Be faithful. I think we said that on one of the first shows. You know, be faithful. You know, be faithful.
You know, that's not... I'm going to have a bit of a moan now. Some people know me, and some, you know, I'm going to... In fact, I'm saying I'm going to have a moan, but I'm sorry, I'm going to chuck you out there now. You know, you came into the studio today.
I'm good.
Yeah, right. Trust me, I'm about to tell them your business. You came into the studio having a bit of a moan, you know. And when you say be faithful, I think that's there isn't enough of that, and it's heartbreaking. There isn't, you know what, there's a phrase that I use. Mm-hmm. I say this a lot. I've said this in church for over many years. Mm-hmm. I actually don't need you to trust me.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to trust God to use me.
Yes.
You don't need to trust the hammer. You need to trust the carpenter.
Yes, come on now.
You don't need to trust the pot.
Yeah.
You need to trust the chef.
Yes.
What's wrong with you people? You faithless generation. Oh, Galatians, who has bewitched you? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's like, guys, where is your faith? Where's your faithfulness to who God is, to the things that you already know of God, and the things that God has already called you to, has shown you, has demonstrated? Go for it.
No, I'm just, you know, I'm just hearing the scripture in my head. Mm. You know, a prophet has no honor. And sometimes people that are close to you cannot see. And guess what? They're not always going to see.
No.
Because if I tell you every single thing in my head, you're going to be like, oh my God, is that going in your head? How are you coping? Yeah. So therefore, if I give you a task, notice a task. At the same time, I've got 101 other things going around in my head.
Exactly.
So if I'm asking you to complete that task, I'm asking it for a reason. So let me just quickly say this as an example. And I'm not going to call any names here because I don't want nobody hanging me after.
Please don't.
No, I won't. I'm joking. But the point is this. If I need something done right now, okay? Mm-hmm. I need something done. I need it done ASAP because I have a time frame that I need to work to, right? Whilst I'm doing that and I've asked for assistance in that area, there's no point in someone coming and constantly saying to me, well, have you thought about this and this and this and this and this? And it's got nothing to do with what I've asked them to do.
So you're asking me
right.
to help you chop some onions,
yep.
right?
Because mm-hmm.
we're going to make that cool. dish together. We're going to cook that food. Deji, please, I need you to chop the onions. When you're done with the onions, you know, wash, peel, chop the carrots.
Yep.
And I'm now saying to you,
mm-hmm.
do you want to put some turmeric in this thing? Are you sure you've got enough turmeric? Because I was just thinking, you know, maybe we should do that. What drink are we going to serve with the food?
Mm-hmm.
Can you just be faithful to chop the onions, bruv?
Yes. Yes. And let's not be over spiritual about it, please. Just cut the onions. I can hear somebody laughing at home.
Yes.
I can already hear them laughing.
Just chop the onions.
Chop the onions.
And I think there isn't enough. So anyway, back to this. Trying to find, and these are the kinds of things that distract us from purpose.
Mm.
And in that moment, there's an assignment given to you mm-hmm. as part of the purpose. Mm-hmm. Fulfilled that assignment as mm-hmm. part of the purpose. Mm-hmm. But no, we start getting distracted.
Mm-hmm.
We start going off on tangents.
So Jesus, the disciples said, but look at them over there. Jesus said to them, what has that got to do with you?
Mind your business.
Mind your business and do that which I've given you to do.
Absolutely.
Do that. Why? It's not because we're trying to entrap, trying to stop, trying to hinder. It's actually going to be of use. You might think it has no bearing, but it's going to be of use. It's going to mean something in the end. You know, you go through some times and you think, oh my goodness, this is so difficult. I don't understand what's happening here. Da, 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 whatever that may be. When you've gone through the tunnel, you've come out through the valley of the shadow of death, whatever that, you know, you've come through, you look back and you evaluate, you assess, you think, you know what? That little thing there that didn't seem to be of any importance, actually, now I understand why.
Yes.
Now I understand why, for example, with my speech, I had to learn, first thing, to deal with fear. I had to learn to, not from outside, but within. I had to confront that thing and say, nope, I can't. I'm not. People just always say to me, you're going to be doing this, this, this. And I'd be like, no, absolutely not. Because I was fearful. So I had to grab that spirit by fear, or fear rather, and deal with that and say, no, God, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me.
There's a phrase that I like to use. I didn't coin the phrase. I borrowed it, but I like to say it a lot. They say the real enemy is the inner me.
Yes.
The real enemy, or the worst enemy, is the inner me.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we are our own worst critic. Yes. We are the one hindering ourselves. Oh, look what the enemy. Enemy yes. what? Oh, Satan. You're casting and binding Satan. Forgive me. I'm just going to say it. Sorry. That prayer ain't going to get answered because Satan's not the problem. You the problem, brother. You the problem. Cut the onions, okay? You are the problem. You can cast the devil where he ain't moving one, and that's part of the problem. That's why sometimes we're casting and casting, and it's like we have to come back and cast again.
Yes.
And it's not working because our focus is wrong.
And what is so key, DG, what is so key is do the first instruction. Follow it through.
Yeah.
When Jesus, the disciples are talking about paying the Caesar, okay. And Jesus says to Peter, go down to the river, throw in the hook, take out the fish, and open that fish's mouth.
Hold on, I just want to jump in.
You go ahead.
Peter's an experienced fisherman.
Yep.
Peter knows all the techniques.
Yep.
But when Peter got there, he said, let down a line, use a hook.
Yeah.
Why didn't Peter use a net?
Yeah.
Peter could have used the net.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, one of them in it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, a hook.
Follow.
There's a specific instruction that's been given to you.
Yes.
Follow. Peter could have said, well, I'm an experienced man.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Just leave it.
Yeah.
You know, what does Jesus know? He's a son of a carpenter. I've lived on boats all my life. I'm going to use a net. Please continue. Mm-hmm. Please continue.
And so, therefore, even in following, you're being obedient.
Yeah.
And you're helping, you're working together. We're talking, you know, it's so key to not see each other as enemies.
You're speaking.
Not as enemies. You know, you mentioned earlier on that you know, as a counselor, you will provoke. I say the same thing when I coach people, when I mentor, I say to them, I'm not going to be this wishy-washy, I'm going to push you. I'm going to, certain things, I'm going to ask some questions. People come and say certain things to me, and I'm like, okay, let's, you know, and I will go for a different way to show you, so it's as clear as day that you can see. And then they're like, oh, I get it now.
And in all of these things, you know, yes, we're talking about some of the steps. We're talking about some of the tasks. It's critical that while we're doing these things, we've got the purpose as primary.
Always.
In terms of how we find that purpose, we're going through all these things. We're battling these things. Your purpose is always primary. I'm going to Los Angeles.
Yes.
You know, the car's got a flat tire. Call an Uber. There was a problem with the Uber. Jump on Bolt.
Yeah.
Take a black cab. You know, the purpose is primary.
Yeah.
I've got to get to Los Angeles. Yes. It's still primary.
Yes.
It's still overarching. It's still the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important as well, as you've been alluding, it's important to focus on what we have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where we are, what we have, what we've already done, our understanding, our experience.
Mm-hmm.
And kill the pride. Oh my days. Mm-hmm. In the words of that famous hymn, let it go. Let it go.
That's funny. You know what, that song is so interesting you mentioned that. That, you know, I was tidying up my tidying up my daughter's room today, and I came across one of her frozen dresses when she was like, you know, 3, 4, whatever. And I remember taking her to, you know, school plays and whatever, and all the girls, all the children are wearing these frozen dresses.
Wow.
You know, back, and they, you know, when they performed, they all sang that song, Let It Go, Let It Go. And it's ironic, you know, the words of the song, Let It Go, Let It Go. As a, you know, as a leader, as a director, you know, we have to be accountable. We're always going to be accountability. I cannot stress the importance of accountability.
Critical.
I cannot stress it enough, because, you know, it's one, it helps you to keep balance. Two, it shows humility.
Yeah.
Three, you can learn something from it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Someone's got your back. You know, you're not on your own. You know, you don't have to strive. You don't have, there's so much things that come out of that. And, you know, in talking and sharing, someone can say, I know somebody. The amount of things that I've now been able to access just because I say the word, you know, I'm a person of accountability.
Mm.
And I hear people say to me, really? Wow. And then they're like, oh, I know, can you do this? And I'm getting opportunities.
Yeah.
Why? Because accountability means that I can be trusted.
Yes.
Means that I'm being sincere. I'm being genuine. I ain't no, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, hide anything.
Yeah.
This is the real me.
I'm open.
This is the real
yes.
me.
Yes.
If I can't do something, I'm telling you, you know what? I've been asked to speak at somewhere today. Can you do so-and-so? I've got an appointment. I've got an engagement next week. I've got another one the following week. I've turned down a few appointments to speak at different conferences or churches or whatever. And I've said to them, I'm so grateful. I appreciate you. However, I'm not able to do this at this moment in time.
Yeah.
I'm being transparent.
Yeah.
And I'm respecting them and I'm honoring them and saying, look, I can't do it at this moment for this reason.
Yeah. And again, it is about, I love the fact you use the word honor. Mm-hmm. It's about recognizing the purpose over your life, pressing and walking into that, paying the price for that, but then honoring that purpose. Honoring the purpose. Honor. Anyway, we're gonna let's listen to another piece of music. I think, you know, when we're searching and thinking about who God is, who we are, and purpose, particularly as Christians, this piece of music it's a longish track. I don't know if we'll let it play to the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but this is one of the highly respected worship leader, and the song says it all. This is Travis Green with "Be Still."
Everybody's moving. Everyone is going somewhere. With everything they're trying, just to make it to a place where I am not there. But when the noise is over, still a small voice you will hear. I hope that you believe me when I tell you that I will handle all of your cares. Just wait on me. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Just trust and know that I am God and I'm in control. God, oh, oh, oh,
not be moved. Teach me how to wait on you.
Welcome back to Being Mindful right here on PHBC Radio. What a joy to have you with us on the show today. We have been discussing for the third time purpose. And my name is Deji. My co-host Maxine is here. And we have just been chewing the fat, talking about various aspects of purpose, the kinds of things that we need to be thinking about, the price, the hindrances to purpose. And we've been talking about what to look for when you are looking to develop or discover your own purpose. It's important that you search inward. It's important that you think about who you are. Think about the kind of things that stir you for good, stir you for anger. That, you know, that what's important to you. Look at put the purpose before the task, before the goals. Honor that purpose. Live a life that reflects that. But it's also important that you focus on where you are, what you have, what you've already done, the people around you. Kill the pride. Ask for help, for goodness sake. You know, integrity is critical, isn't it? But it's also important in discovering purpose is take ownership.
Yes.
Take ownership, both for the good and for the bad. Take ownership for the mistakes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Own it. Don't this self-deception of, well, it's not me. It wasn't me. You know, Shaggy. In fact, I wrote, there's a whole sermon I have on that song. You know, it wasn't me. You know, it's never you, is it? It's take ownership and say, you know what, hands up, I messed up, I shouldn't have, I crossed the line, I did wrong. Yeah, but also, you know, it's important that when we're searching for purpose or how to press into purpose, we get practical.
Yeah.
Habakkuk said, write the vision, make it plain.
So that others
that read it can run with it.
Yeah.
So people can support you in that. They can speak into it.
Yeah.
And honestly, grow a backbone. Take some criticism.
Yeah.
You know, I think these are really important steps. Yes. Mm-hmm. But hold it with other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trusted people, obviously, not just some, you know, random Tom, Dick and Harriet, you know, to come and read what's going on in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Trusted people, people who you've looked at, who've paid their own price, who can truly properly speak. When I was inducted as the pastor of this church, there was a parade. Every pastor I'd ever served under, the woman who led me to Christ on that plane in 1988 was in the building, and every pastor except one was in the building. I mean, she wasn't here, but her husband was here.
Yeah.
You know, and it was really important to show are people to whom I am accountable.
Yes.
These are people who have walked that journey, who know who I am over the years.
Yeah.
And it's important when we're finding out purpose, we write it out, we give it to people, show it to people, trust it to people, take it to God. We heard that song now, Be Still.
Mm-hmm.
Take it and just be in the quietness. Now, I want to caveat something.
Yeah.
Sometimes what people do, I've been in situations when I've gone to somebody for counsel and advice, and the person has said, have you prayed about it? And I say, no. They say, go and pray about it first.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, go and pray about it, and then I come and talk to you, because after God has spoken, you're going to talk?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Exactly. Sorry, I'm going to go pray first?
Mm-hmm.
Because, no, you know, you pray last. God has the final say.
Mm-hmm.
People say, no, go pray first. If you've prayed about it and God has spoken, don't talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
I am not going to speak after God. I am not pastor. Good. This one, bishop, the other one. And sorry, don't put me in that
good
box.
Good point.
I do good not point. Have a say after God has spoken.
Mm. Although in saying that, out of the mouths of two or three witnesses.
Now, the reason I say God last is because...
Mm-hmm.
Let me put it. And we had a prayer series last year. And, you know, if you're wondering where I stand on prayer, go to the PHBC website, look at the prayer series. It's all there.
Mm-hmm.
Should I go to work?
Oh, please.
Go and pray about it. No, you don't need to pray about it. Ask so three funny. People. They'll tell you. Should I pay my rent? Ask your landlord. Ask the bailiff. You don't, there are some things heaven will be silent over you. Because he has provided people around you to give you the answer already.
Yes.
Stop over hyper-spiritualizing everything.
Yes.
You need, sometimes you don't need prayer. Saints, yes, said it. You don't need prayer. You need counsel.
Yes.
You know, because what we do is we say, I prayed about it. And what we're doing is we're listening to our own heart.
And also as well, you find people are sometimes searching for a word from one conference to the next, to the next complication, to next, you know, constantly.
Yes.
And, you know, give me a word. Okay, what did you do with the other one?
Thank you.
What has happened? What progress have you made?
And what sound counsel will do in that context is to say to you, sit, be still, go back to your last point of obedience.
Listen, listen, I'm so looking forward to meeting some of our listeners that are coming up. Yeah. Because I know we're going to be talking about, you know, our coming.
In fact, you know what? Let's just go there. You know, as certainly, and we touched on it a little bit earlier on, that as an organization, not just as an individual, as an organization, it's important you have a purpose.
Yeah.
So at Pollard's Hill Baptist Church, the slogan of the church has existed for 82 years. The slogan of the church is sharing the love of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said this many, many, many times. I've shared this with community stakeholders. I've said shared this from the pulpit. Sharing the love of Jesus is not just gathering, singing some songs, reading scriptures, praying, shouting amen and hallelujah. Mm-hmm. No, 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 no.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was practical. He was pragmatic. He went out there and got stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
So sharing the love of Jesus means we need to embody, we need to demonstrate that love, right? Part of that, or the core issue, the core purpose of this church is to serve our community. To minister means to serve. To be a minister means to be a servant. And the picture that I use, you know, often is you go to a restaurant, the server comes up to you and says, may I take your order? Sometimes you will instigate, you will, you know, but sometimes they will suggest, have you considered the prawns? You know, for that meal, here's the drink I'm recommending. Whether it is from them or us, wherever it may be, it is to serve their need. Take the order, recognize where the need is, and to serve into that. And one of the initiatives that we're doing, obviously, which you alluded to, is the annual Community Fund Day, which is coming up on Saturday. By the time this show is being broadcast, if you're listening to this on Saturday morning, immediately the show is ended, you know, hey, put your jeans on, put your trainers on, start making your way down, because it's this Saturday at 12 o'clock at noon. And it's a community fund day. It's just, it's free, free entry, free rides, free food. There's a well-being area. We've got doctors going to be on site. There's you know, Age UK is going to be there. There's money advice people that are going to be there. You know, there's all sorts of organizations, stakeholders.
Serving the community.
There's all sorts of organizations and stakeholders, particularly aimed at serving the community. And there's one in particular, Maxine, that I would like to highlight.
Okay.
And the organization is called the organization is called YouGlow.
YouGlow.
So tell us about YouGlow.
So YouGlow. So I'm the founder of YouGlow, and it is just that, YouGlow. And yeah, actually, you know, we are serving, supporting women and girls primarily. So yeah, please do come over, come and say hi. I'd love to see you in person and shake your hands or give you a hug or, you know. But yeah, so what we do, we provide peer-to-peer learning opportunities. We do counseling, therapeutic wellness. We do coaching, we do mentoring.
Wow.
We work with women who've experienced domestic violence.
Is there an age bracket to the people that you serve? Is it, do you do children, or is it?
We have an empowerment program for girls, aged 11, 11 up to 25.
Okay.
And that's our empowerment mentoring workshops and so forth program. It's fantastic. Oh my God, it's amazing.
I mean, what was the idea behind? Why? What provoked you to, what, you know, the purpose of setting this up?
So, So this really came out of a passion for me. My background was in law. And so, you know, going to police stations, representing, going to courts, high court, Old Bailey, all sorts of things like that, and seeing that there was a need for support. I saw too many young people, young girls getting caught up in, you know, gangs and, you know, peer pressure and just different things happening to them that by a mistake, if I can put it that way, you know,
One wrong choice.
And learning, so many of them would say they never knew, or they never had anybody tell them or share with them. On the flip side, working with women, what we found is that the women were, I don't want to say it in that way, but sort of suffering in silence because they felt ashamed. They felt there was a stigma. Around whatever they were going through, be it low self-esteem, be it not having anybody to to support them, you know, having a family breakdown and not being able to cope, not being able to manage, and not just that, but struggling with life day to day. So the word "you glow" means, you know, that actually there's something in you that is unique. There is something in you that is special. And actually, you can glow, you can become, you can attain, you can achieve that which is in you. We work with women who want to start their own business, you know, because so many women, so many young girls, so many people have so much skills and talents and abilities, but they just don't know how
to find the support.
Yeah, I don't know how to start it off.
Well, and in some, I'm so glad I asked you that question. I mean, we've been doing this show for so long, and I'm so glad I asked you that question, because in many respects, it speaks into not just the purpose of the organization, mm-hmm. but paying that forward and helping them find their purpose.
Oh, absolutely.
And walk in that purpose.
Absolutely. Since I've started, we've helped numerous women and young girls as well, 18, mm-hmm. 19 and so forth, start their own business.
Wow.
A small thing can become. That small thing, actually, it's a bit like the mustard seed, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That small thing, you know, maybe you're a fantastic cook. Maybe you're a fantastic artist. You know, it doesn't have to be, well, I can't do what she's doing. No, you're unique.
Can I edit what you just said?
Go ahead.
You said, maybe you're a fantastic cook. Maybe you're a fantastic artist. Can I say, mm-hmm. even if you're not a fantastic artist, mm-hmm. maybe you're just an artist.
Yeah.
Because the fantastic hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
With the right people.
Drawing it
the
out.
Right, yeah, the Moses,
the Moses.
With the right people. With the right, the Moses that yeah. can pull that out of you.
Yes.
With the right support. You know, squash the ego.
Yes.
Reach out.
Yeah.
Find who can help to develop these yeah. talents, the skills, the giftings
yeah.
within the individual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because as they say, you don't have to be great
mm-hmm.
before you start.
Yes.
But you have to start
yes.
before you're great.
And let me just say this. Before I got to here, I wasn't ready. I didn't feel I was ready. Mm. I didn't feel I was capable. I didn't feel that I knew what I was even doing.
Mm.
This is not something I just started. I've been working on this for years. I'd done projects prior to this. I'd done small things. I managed centers. There's a few things that I've done along the journey.
Wow.
But what is clear is now where I'm at, I'm comfortable and I'm ready.
Amen. 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 Listen. Thank you for joining us. Thank you. Pollard's Hill Community Fun Day. If you just Google Pollard's Hill Fun Day, you'll find all the details.
12 till 5,
right here in Pollard's Hill. We would love for you to be there with us. Come and join us. Thank you for joining us on the show. And we will catch you next time
yep,
on Being Mindful.
Mindful.
God bless you.